Amen. Amen. If you have a Bible, if you would open it, and if you are able to remain standing, please remain standing in honor of the reading of God's word. Open to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Just a reminder that the children will be staying with us. No children's church today, but as we look into Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6 and 10 through 14. Thank you, Leah, for leading us in worship today as we engage our Father together. Matthew writes this, Matthew 18, 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin or to stumble, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." Verse 10, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." May the Lord add his blessing this morning to the reading of his word. Thank you for remaining standing. You may be seated. So as we continue on in our study of the book of Matthew, we enter into a teaching section in over these next several messages that deal with kingdom relationships, kingdom relationships. And this morning, we want to look, even on this Family Sunday, about the topic of how we would live as the people of God, as the children of God, that we would live as little children, both with him and in our interactions and our relationships with one another. Like little children is our focus this morning. There are sermon notes in your bulletins, as well as in the activity bins. There are sermon notes for the kids to be able to fill in and to take notes. When I was growing up, one of my favorite commercials whenever I saw it was for Toys R Us. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. There's a million toys at Toys R Us that I can play with, and on and on and on. I don't want to grow up, it says at the end, because if I did, if you know the end, I wouldn't be a Toys R Us kid. Yeah. There's something about being a little kid. There's something in us that doesn't want to grow up. How often have you heard that phrase, "Oh, would you just grow up?" Sometimes we need to grow up. There needs to be some maturity in us. There needs to be some development, some strengthening of our character and our responsibility. But within us, there is this desire to be a little child. One of those great stories and movies that probably many of us have seen or read is Peter Pan. Peter Pan didn't want to grow up. He wanted to be a little kid, and he had his lost boys, those boys in Neverland, fighting Captain Hook and going on all those things. There's that desire in us to be little children. Now, certainly we know that we need to grow up, and that's one of the whole things behind Peter Pan. There needed to be that desire. You have to grow up. Wendy decided that she was going to grow up into a woman and not stay a child forever, but not losing that childlikeness in the process. Where does that come from? I believe that comes from God, who has put it in the hearts of his people to be like little children. Little children who, before their Abba Father in heaven, learn to depend, learn to love, learn to receive, learn to live in intimate relationship with their Father in heaven. And learn as the little children of God to interact in relationships in his church and in his kingdom, one with another. So this morning, we want to look at these interactions that Jesus has with his disciples and with the little boy, a little child, and see what it looks like to be like little children as we would prepare to take communion this morning together. Three traits that I would encourage us to look at of what it looks like to live like little children. The first trait is this: little children humbly obey Jesus. Little children humbly obey Jesus. Jesus is asked a question in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And so Jesus does something. Jesus flips greatness. We would think the strongest, the most powerful, the richest, the most knowledgeable, the oldest, those are the ones who are the greatest. The ones with the greatest success, greatest abilities, those are the greatest. But Jesus speaks of greatness in a different way, because in verse 2, he calls to him a child, and he puts that child, that young boy, in the midst of all of his disciples who are asking him, "Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest in the kingdom?" And Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn, unless you become like children, you will both never enter the kingdom of God, because those who humble themselves are the greatest in the kingdom." Jesus flips what greatness is all about. It's not about building yourself up, powering up, having more, being greater. It's about becoming humble like a child. In Jesus' day, a child was one of the least. Children were on the outside looking in. Those who were old and those who had the greatest influence, those were the greatest. The children were on the peripheral. But Jesus wants them to know that greatness is about humility, and greatness is about obedience. It's not the first time this theme shows up in Scripture, because in Israel's history, Saul was the first king of Israel, and as he was in his kingship, the Lord had given him direction through Samuel of how to interact in a battle, and he disobeyed the Lord. And because he disobeyed the Lord, he lost his right to be king. And so God tells the prophet Samuel to go to a man by the name of Jesse's house. And there in Jesse's house, one of his sons would be the next king of Israel. Jesse had 8 sons. And so Samuel goes with his horn of oil ready to anoint the next king of Israel. And he comes to the first of Jesse's sons, who is the oldest and the strongest and the best looking. He's the one that when you looked at it, you would say, "That's a king." And the Lord says, "No." The next son comes, looks like a king. No. On and on and on. Through 7 of Jesse's sons, all of them would look the part. All of them, if you saw them, the scriptures seem to allude, you would say, "There's a king. That's a man I would follow." But none of them, the Lord tells Samuel, none of these are the one that I have chosen to be king. So Samuel is a little confused, and he asks Jesse, "Do you have any more sons?" And Jesse says, "Well, there is David, the youngest. He's out in the field taking care of the sheep. Surely it's not David, the youngest." But Samuel says, "Send for him." And as they go and they get David, as he was tending the sheep, they come back. And the Lord says, "This is the one." And the Lord says through Samuel, "Mankind, men and women, may look on the outward appearance for greatness, but God looks at the heart." See, it's a theme that is in the scriptures, that God has always been about not the ones who look the part on the outside, but the ones who have a heart of humility expressed in obedience. A heart of humility expressed in obedience. He calls this young child, and this young child comes and stands in the middle of the disciples. I want you to understand, for a child to be called into a group of established men would have been a really, really intimidating experience. But this child listens to the voice of Jesus and responds in humble obedience to the directive and the call of Jesus, and he comes and he stands in the middle of them. And he doesn't just stand there for a moment and then take off and go off to playing again. He comes and he stands until Jesus tells him to do differently. See, obedience was expressed in this young man's life, in this child's life, as he came in obedience, as he stayed in obedience. Jesus says that if you want to enter his kingdom, if you want to enter his family and become great in it, it begins with obedience. It begins with humbling yourself like that boy who willingly came and stood in the presence of Jesus to trust the word of Christ and to humbly and obediently obey him. Think of David again. He became great because he humbly obeyed his father by going and caring for the sheep. He became great because he learned to live in obedience to God. He developed relationship with him as he cared for the sheep in the field and protected the sheep in the field. He became great as he humbly became Saul, King Saul's servant. Even though anointed, it wasn't the time yet, and he humbly came and he humbly served King Saul, while also at the same time somehow serving his father, continuing to look after the sheep. So much so that one day Jesse calls David and says, "Your brothers who have been in the army are been off to war, they've been off to battle, and I want you to go check on them." Meanwhile, there has been a man named Goliath, a giant, a Philistine, an enemy of Israel, who had been calling out day after day, mocking the God of Israel, mocking Yahweh, and saying, "Come and fight me." And everyone, even King Saul, was quaking in fear. And David, who was obediently going to check on his brothers, who was obediently taking food for his brothers, who was obediently taking cheese for the commander of the army, said, "This isn't right. How dare they mock our God?" And said, "I will go." You may know the story as he takes the stones and slings them, and that one smooth stone hits Goliath right between the eyes, and the battle is won. Friends, David, from a young age, learned obedience. And whether we are old, whether we are middle-aged, or whether we are some of the youngest in the room, the way into the kingdom of God, into the family of God, and into greatness in it, is not by how great we do on our own, but it's about humbling ourselves and being obedient to Jesus. That is the heart that is demonstrated by this boy and demonstrated by David. And it's a starting point for good relationships that will enable us to be like little children in this second trait. Little children who welcome the little ones. Verses 5 through 6, Jesus says, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." This idea of child can also be translated little one. And so Jesus likely had a double meaning. He was talking about this little child who was in their midst standing there, but he was also probably, because of the ways in which the word was used, was also talking about those who are on the outside looking in. Those who are not accepted, those who are poor, those who are the sick, those who are the orphan, the immigrant, the refugee, the minority, those who in our culture or in the people around you or at your school or in your class are the ones that may not get included in everything, the ones that may not be the popular ones, the in crowd. It's the little ones, not just the child, but also those who are on the outside and are not included regularly. Jesus says for these little ones to welcome them or receive them, depending on the translation that your Bible may have. Mine is, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Many translations say, whoever welcomes one such child or little one welcomes me. Do you hear that? Jesus says that in our welcoming of the little children, whether they are children by age or whether they are the ones on the outside looking in, that in welcoming them, we are actually welcoming him. Welcoming him is a way that we practice humble obedience by welcoming others. And by welcoming him, we are actually also welcoming them to him. Does that make sense? We welcome them, and in doing so, we are welcoming Jesus. But we are also having the opportunity to welcome them to Jesus. We become his representatives. But Jesus says something that really is something that we need to take and pay special attention to, because he said that there's the positive. If we welcome him or welcome them, we are welcoming him. But there's also the danger and the warning. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin or to stumble, to make it harder for them to believe in him, it would be better for that person to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. That's pretty harsh. But Jesus is saying, this is how much I love the children and the little ones. This is how important it is to me and how serious business it is that we do everything we can to welcome the children and those who are on the outside. Because if we have been welcomed as the little ones of God, we must welcome others as well. Friends, whether it is if you're in school or if you're in school age, whether it's in the lunchroom or on the playground, or whether it's in your neighborhood with the kids in your neighborhood, or whether it's on the sports team that you're playing on, it's an opportunity for each of us to look to welcome those who are lonely, those who maybe don't have friends, maybe who are on the outside looking in, who maybe don't have a place to sit at the table, maybe don't have someone who they can play with on the playground. Maybe in the neighborhood, they're the ones that aren't coming out and don't have friends to play with. It's the opportunity for you to be able to welcome others in. In our church family, may we be a church family that works to include the children. May we be ones who continue to see those of child age who are involved in prayer partners, who are reaching out to the children, who are actively involved in knowing what is going on in the lives of the kids around us. Because children should not be relegated to the basement. Children should not be out of sight and out of mind. Children should not have their time so that the adults can have their time. If we are family and we take the words of Jesus seriously, the children, the little ones, are the ones that we must all welcome and that we must be actively bringing in. And we also must be looking for those who are the little ones, who are the outside, the in crowd. And any church family has, whether intentionally or unintentionally, and many times I think it's unintentionally, those who may not fit easily, because those who have been around forever know everyone, But it's sometimes hard for those who are newer to break in. And so it's those responsibility, it's our responsibility to be able to say, hey, can I include you? Let me get to know you. I want you to be a part of my life. I want you to be a part of our church family. So whether you invite them to your house or to a prayer meeting or to your small group that you're involved in, or whether you just seek to get to know someone, the little ones, the opportunity to welcome. And in doing so, when Jesus says that when we welcome them, we welcome him, here's the reality. We believe that the presence of Jesus is with us. And by welcoming others, we are welcoming tangibly his presence in our midst. We are saying, Jesus, by the ways that we welcome one another, we welcome you. This is an act of humble obedience, and it attracts and welcomes people to him. But if we don't, it has the potential to repel and to push people away from Jesus. May we take the words of Jesus seriously in this trait that as little children, we welcome others, other little ones, into his family. The last trait, what little children do. Little children care for. They don't despise the wanderers. They care for. They don't despise the wanderers. Jesus says in verse 10, see that you do not despise one of these little ones. See, little ones have a way of wandering away. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed the little ones who get wide-eyed when they see the world around them and they go, look at that. They're not thinking, I need to be close to mom or I need to be close to dad. They're focused on, look at that. That's amazing. And they have a way of wandering because that is so intriguing. And so with wide eyes, they wander. Little ones also have the little bit of it where they know, I need to be here, but I want to go there. And so with the twinkle in the eye and that little bit of a laugh of ha, 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 little ones can take off as well. And so sometimes it's innocent. Other times it's intentional. But one way or another, little ones have a way of wandering off. And if we're honest, those of us who are adults, age-wise, we have a way sometimes of wandering off, don't we? If we're honest with ourselves. And so one way or another, there is this tendency in us. It's why Jesus refers to us so often, not just as little children, but sheep. That he is the shepherd and we are the sheep. And sheep, in Jesus' day, we don't have many shepherds in our culture, in our world much. And so we don't see this, but Jesus, he understood this because this was a part of their everyday life. Shepherds and sheep. But sheep had a way of kind of going off and doing their own thing. They could get in trouble easily. Sometimes it was because they were a little bit, the Bible says, stiff-necked. In other words, I know what I'm going to do and I'm going to do it. And other times they just got wandering off. But the shepherd, when the sheep would wander off, the shepherd would go after them. So Jesus uses this picture to say this. When the little ones wander off, don't despise them. In other words, don't say, how could they? Don't, oh, I'm going to go find them and bring them back. Get angry. Don't even determine that if they get in some trouble as they wander away, well, that's what they get for wandering away. Isn't that the temptation? I know that's the temptation for me. I can get angry. I can get frustrated. I can get, well, that's what they get. But Jesus is saying that is despising the little ones. That is a heart attitude that we as little children, we need to be aware of. And Jesus intentionally says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." That's an interesting verse, isn't it? First century Jews believed that individuals had angels that were assigned to them. Now, there isn't specific verse other than places like this that say every person has an angel assigned to them, but I think Jesus is saying something that they understood in their day, that there are angels that are watching out for us, that see the face of God. And so Jesus is saying this: if there are angels who are caring for each of the little ones, each of us, how much more should we be looking to care for others? If God cares so much for the little ones, for his little children, that he's assigned an angel to watch out for us, how much more should we be looking to do the same? So instead of despising, Jesus says to care for them. Care for them. When we wander, to go and look. There's another time that Jesus uses this picture in Luke chapter 15, and it's talking about those who don't yet know him as their Father. But this is about those who do believe. In other words, there are going to be times in our church family when there will be some of us who will wander off. And when that happens, as little ones, as little children of God, we go and look for. We leave the others who are safe and secure and go find the one who has wandered away. Not angry, not judging, but going in love and in care, searching for those who have wandered away. So watch out. Watch out for the wanderers. And if you may see one wandering away, don't despise them, but lovingly go after them, caring for them and bringing them back. For as little children, this is how we love one another. This morning, as little children, we want to take opportunity as a family together to come to the Lord's table together. As ones who are dearly loved of the Lord. In Jesus' day, the table, a meal, was one of the most sacred and one of the most close and privileged places. If you were invited over to someone's house to sit at a meal, you were invited into the closest place of their lives. And so Jesus, as he had the Passover supper on the night before he died, he gathered with his disciples and said, "I've been looking forward to being with you, my little ones, my dearly beloved children, and I have been looking forward to eating with you." And in that meal, he said, "As you look and as you celebrate this, I want you to understand that the bread represents my body that's given for you on the cross. And I want you to understand that the cup represents my blood that is shed for the forgiveness of your sins. That every time you gather together and every time you sit at the table to eat the bread and drink the cup, you are remembering me. That every time you welcome one another into this time, you're welcoming me." Jesus is inviting each of us this morning to come and to be with him as we come together as his dearly loved children. You don't have to be a member of the church. You don't have to be a regular attender of the church. There's just one requirement. And that is that you've come to the place in your life where you recognize that we are born separated from the family of God. That we are born outside of that family because of. As your little children, we thank you for your body given for us. After supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave it to his disciples and he said, this cup represents the new covenant in my blood. As you are served, you may take some time with the Lord, and then we will drink together as we all come back. Like little children, we come together because of the blood of Jesus shed for us. How much does the Father love us? He loves us so much that the blood of his Son shed on the cross, he says, it and you are worth it. You are so deeply loved, my little children, he says, that the blood of my Son is not too much a price to pay so that you could be mine. May we drink in worship, in gratitude, in celebration of the one who has made us little children of the Father. Let us drink together. Father, we thank you that you have made us to be your dearly beloved little children. Jesus, we celebrate you and we worship you and we thank you with gratitude in our hearts. What else can we say but to worship you? You, the one who has paid it all. And so as dearly loved little children, may you enable us, Father in heaven, to love one another as little children. To care for one another, even when we wander away, to be able to welcome one another as well. For you have welcomed us. It's our joy to do so as your little children. Teach us and satisfy us with your deep love, I pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask. And all God's people said together, amen.